because our vision for our organization is to be the best community hospital in the nation.
Hi, that was Mary Beth White Jacobs, the 2018 Wisconsin Forward Award Excellence recipient in healthcare. I'm Tim Halleck, and you're listening to Straightforward, a podcast featuring conversations with people involved in the Baldrige Excellence Framework, talking systems, customers, innovation, thinking about approach, deploy, learn, integrate, working on strategy, workforce, and results. Hi, everyone. Our first episode is titled Community Excellence. It features an interview with Mary Beth White Jacobs and Nicole Schweitzer at Black River Memorial Hospital. But first, let's introduce the podcast. The idea for this podcast came from a conversation I had with Liz Menzer at the Coffee Cup in Stoughton, Wisconsin. Liz and I both thought that rather than share more information, that people would enjoy hearing people's stories. And those stories would be more interesting, informative, and fun. So voila, let's do a podcast. We did some brainstorming about the name and finally came up with Straightforward. It sounds like two words, straight and forward, but it's actually one word, an adjective that means uncomplicated and easy to understand. And although Baldrige arguably could be anything but uncomplicated or easy to understand, people sharing their stories could be informative and fun or straightforward. The podcast will be hosted on the Wisconsin Center for Performance Excellence website with a new podcast monthly. We'll include a variety of people and topics. So give us your ideas and feedback through the Wisconsin Center for Performance Excellence website contact link. On to episode one, Community Excellence. It feels like coming home is what patients and staff say about Black River Memorial Hospital. It's a small community hospital dating back to 1917. You'll find it on the west side, mid-state, nestled in the heart of Black River Falls, Wisconsin. We plan to do this podcast in person, but opted by phone when our first winter storm hit. I'm joined by Mary Beth White Jacobs and Nicole Schweitzer. Hi, ladies. Why don't you introduce yourselves?
I'll start. I'm Mary Beth White Jacobs, currently the president and CEO of Black River Memorial Hospital. Been with the organization actually since 1982. Been the CEO for 5.5 years, but I came here as a brand new graduate from UW-Eau Claire's BSN program. Worked med-surg and OB, and then started working in management. I did some management in both of those areas, and then I was the vice president for patient care services here for 15 years. So I have a total of 37 years in with the organization this coming June. So it's a fabulous place to work. I've had wonderful opportunities along the way to grow and learn and be very involved in our use of the Baldrige framework.
And my name is Nicole Schweitzer. I'm the Director of Rehabilitation and Occupational Health Services here at Black River Memorial Hospital. I've been here for 26 years. I started out as a staff therapist and then was quickly promoted to manager and now director of programming. I've served in many leadership roles and have been a champion for the Baldrige criteria for at least the last 6 years.
Nicole, I think a lot of organizations have a champion for their performance excellence effort. How do you define your role as champion?
Well, I'm a bit of an interpreter. I've been an examiner with the Wisconsin Center for Performance Excellence for 5 years on and off in different capacities to assist with reviewing applications. Gone to a lot of continuing education and been supported in doing that by our organization to learn about the criteria. And I'm an interpreter for the organization for people don't necessarily understand what the language is when reviewing the criteria and whatnot. So I try to bring meaning to our managers so they understand and they can make it applicable in their work.
Why don't we have you share some of your history working with the Baldrige criteria?
Well, we've been working with the criteria now for almost 10 years, I would say. We did a big building remodeling project for the organization that completed in 2007, and that's when we kind of did an evaluation of the work we were doing here and started our Excellence Always journey. So we really decided that for an organization, community hospital, we needed to set some pretty big goals and targets for ourselves and started doing that right away. We are a Studer Group partner and have worked with them, but immediately found that we needed some kind of a framework and some some set of guidelines. So we really went outside the organization to look for that. And I believe that's when we went to a Baldrige Criteria Seminar. And we had a small group that went to that and came back and really liked the idea of using a national set of standards. As Nicole mentioned earlier, being the champion for the last 6 years, I was the champion prior to her leading the organization. And I have to say that having a champion or somebody who's the lead person was really a key success factor for us in using the criteria. Nicole, when did you get exposed to the criteria?
Probably about 8 years ago when we started using, we had one of our tutor coaches, and I think we had representatives from the Center for Performance Excellence that came and at least did a really high-level overview of what it was to introduce the management team to it. So I got my wheels turning, and I'm a bit of a systems process thinker. So, of course, then I really loved it.
Made a good fit.
Right, made a good fit for my skill sets.
Yeah.
You sound like a lot of organizations that have gotten to know Baldrige, but I don't think all of them have been able to move on to the point of writing an app. So how did you move on to that point of writing, and do you remember that first app?
Sure, I'm happy to talk about that. So we really started using the criteria probably in late 2008, 2009 is when we started writing our first application and submitted that in 2010. So we did all of the work internally, put together kind of a team, had different people writing the different chapters, and then tried to blend that into a singular application. At the time, I think we were pretty early in our understanding of the Baldrige criteria, so we submitted our first application in 2010, and I believe that's after the submission is when I went to the examiner training. So after the 2 days of examiner training, I actually went to Liz Menzer, who's the executive director, and said, can we have our application back? Because it was a little embarrassing to realize how very little we knew about the criteria, what they really meant in writing our application. And the thing that became obvious to me is we were looking for things that fit into the criteria rather than looking at the criteria to see how we could use that to drive performance. So we kind of started out trying to prove that we were already doing it, and then realized pretty quickly on that it's got to be the other way around. You have to really look at the criteria and then evaluate what you're doing and probably do some work and some fine-tuning before you put that pencil to paper and write that first application.
So you learn that it wasn't just taking what you were doing and putting that to paper, but using the criteria to learn what to do. Do you think you would have learned that if you hadn't written that first application?
Probably not, because I think every time you even try to write something, every time you go to a criteria seminar, I remember Nicole and I had a conversation for about 45 minutes on what's the difference between a system and a process. So, I mean, it was that elementary at times, is that even just learning the language and really what they're meaning, it was definitely an ongoing process.
At that time, we didn't know what we didn't know until the wonderful feedback report that we got, and then we were able to have examiners come on site, and I believe you were a person, too, that offered some advice to assist us with next steps. And I don't think back then they had the different levels that an organization could submit to be able to progress at the, you know, through the Wisconsin Center for Performance Excellence, and I think now that's a really nice opportunity for a very high-level review to start with, just putting together an organizational profile and getting feedback on that.
So I hear after some writing and feedback, you're starting to get it. Is there any special event or time when you thought to yourself, boy, this is really starting to click?
Boy, I don't remember like one specific point in time. It feels more evolutionary than it does sort of like an enlightenment or a revolution in some way. I would say that we did three applications in a row, so 2010, 11, and 12. And I think that digesting the feedback report each time is where probably the best learning was and where it started to click for me, because somebody external to the organization was able to look in, give you an objective opinion about some of the processes that you were doing and how you could make them better. So I think for me, the feedback reports always were a little bit of a leap ahead in understanding.
I think with this last feedback report, we do leadership development training, and we just had one recently, And when I start to hear the other managers talk about developing processes that are systematic and not being person-dependent, being process-dependent, they all turn and look at me. So it's clicking. Yeah! And it's a wonderful thing. And I get goosebumps and my heart starts going fast because the stuff that I love that I get all nerdy about, they're getting it and it's working. And so, you know, there are pockets of it, but I really see the entire management team for it to start to catch on and really be integrated in our work.
Well, it certainly sounds like the people in your organization have really bought into performance excellence. Another question that I often get is about the writing of an application. Do you do it yourself or do you bring somebody in to help?
We had different people writing different areas based on what they saw in the organization initially. And I think pulling it back together to have kind of more one voice was difficult as far as the writing piece of it. We took a pretty big gap between our 2012 application and the application we submitted in 2018. And during that time, we really realized that for us, it made sense to get an external person to help us with the writing because they could ask us the right questions. They could put it together in one voice. And really, it was something that I had pretty strongly resisted. For the first three applications, our previous CEO had asked me more than one time, don't you think we should get someone to write this? And I kept saying, no, there's no way that they would know the organization the way we do. But I think in working with an outside consultant over the course of a couple of years, even if not like 2.5, she was able to really help us put our processes, you know, down in step-by-step manner so that we had it was easier for us to describe what we were doing, and it helped us improve our processes, which is the key reason for using the criteria is to actually improve the work you do.
Mary Beth, I'm really glad you point out that improving yourself is the key objective of doing this and that the Baldrige model for performance excellence can really support you in that effort. So you brought a consultant in to help you write and work on strengthening some of your key systems. I'm wondering, can you share some of the key systems you felt you needed to work on?
The first things that we really started working on and improve had to do with the work we were doing to change our culture. And we really started focusing on our workforce and making sure this was an excellent place for them to practice and focusing on our customers. So I'd say what's now Category 3 and Category 5, so customer focus and workforce focus were the first areas where we really began to get a lot more symptomatic. Part of that was our work with the Studer Group, and a lot of their focus is really around building a culture of excellence, which linked right up with our Excellence Always pledge. So those are the two areas where we really started to work first. So I would say under customers, we started actually measuring customer feedback and doing patient perception of care, not just where it was required by Medicare, but in a lot of our departments. We also started working on workforce processes, so hiring the right people and then training them in to the processes you have in place and then working on retention. So those are the areas that really started focusing on us first, focusing on having the information we needed. We wanted to be a data-driven organization, and we really had pockets where only some people had access to the data. So the CEO was the only one that really had, like, the market share information. And he would share it with the senior leader team, but we didn't necessarily bring that out, like, to all the directors. Or even looking at, as a manager, director-type person, looking at your financials and really putting in place a way for us to be very transparent about the financials and making sure that everybody really understands how their own department was doing, let alone, you know, the entire organization.
I think a big piece was in our knowledge management, and each of our areas of responsibility have certain performance indicators. We aligned our goals with what would support the goals of the senior leader team and the organization, and then having accessibility to share those with staff at meetings, have them develop tactics to drive improvement. We've really done well in shoring that up and designing systems and processes by which we do that. If you interviewed anybody in my department, in the rehab department, they would know what the goals are, and they'd be able to tell you how we did for last year. So it's really something that we all focus on, and that was something that we definitely enhanced and improved, and it's continuing to evolve as we're all getting smart about use of data and measurement.
I think you'd agree that trying to improve how you do what you do while you're doing it is a really hard thing to do. And it's taken you several years to get where you're at today. I'm interested in what are some of the biggest barriers or speed bumps that you've encountered and had to overcome along the way?
I think the biggest barrier was the mindset that this was extra work that you would do on the side if you had time. So, well, if I have time, I'll look at that Baldrige criteria, or if I, you know, if I have to do a quality project, you know, then maybe I'll use that. And I think that was probably a barrier for us for a while. And so until we really integrated it into the responsibility of the leadership team, the senior leaders, the directors, and did education there and explained how it would actually help them run their departments better, I think that was, it wasn't necessarily a speed bump, but it definitely was something that I really felt some resistance on. So some people who really love process management, Nicole is a great example of that, you know, latched onto this right away. And some people who are more maybe kind of worker bees and more doing the work, not thinking about how you do the work. So there's a difference between actually getting in and doing the work and sitting back as a leader and saying, how are we going to design the work so that it can be done efficiently? So we have some departments that, as a community hospital, really had like working managers, and probably almost all of our directors in our organization, and we really just have that one level, can step in on any given day and take on the actual work of their employees if they have to. So in those departments where maybe staffing was disrupted or a little bit low, or there were open positions, I think the managers got pulled in to do the work so often and didn't either have or take the time to think about the processes that we use. So that kind of slowed us down a little bit. And there was a lot of education, I think, and training that we just needed to do for people to understand that developing processes in the long run really, really make running your department easier.
I recall a good friend of mine, Ted Bunk, who was a real pioneer of applying performance excellence in government or state agency. He used to say that he never liked it when consultants would come in and say, this didn't take more time, it was just how we do business. Because in his view, the truth is, at first, it does take more time.
Yeah, I think the goal is so that you get to the point where it's integrated enough into your work so that it doesn't feel extra. It just feels like this is how we do business. But it's like when you learn anything new or different or a different way to do your work, there's a learning curve there for everybody. And I think we were pretty honest about that, and that we knew it would take some commitment on the part of our leadership team. And that's why, you know, the growth that you have is probably asymmetrical for a while. So we were way ahead in probably workforce and customer because we got people on board with that, and then maybe lagged a little bit behind more on kind of process management, the knowledge management category 4. I think, you know, there's still areas in there that we have things to work on. But like Nicole said earlier, I love it when I hear one of the directors say, we have to have a systematic, repeatable process. You know, it's like music to my ears.
I remember the highs and lows between applications, especially when you've written multiple applications over several years. It seems like you're always starting over and needing to constantly rebuild momentum.
I think there's always a real great high feeling when you get that application all put together and you box it up and you send it out. You know, it feels like a great accomplishment to have, you know, clustered that all together. And then especially like with the first one or two, getting the feedback report back. And it's exciting to get that back, but there's maybe a little bit of a lull there too, especially if you can't quite understand the feedback, you know, so there's that whole trying to decipher what is really being told to you. And then we, you know, we did have some just natural turnover in our leadership team. Our CEO retired and then our CFO retired, so we had a new senior leader team. We had some changes in our director group, and so then you bring in brand new people who have no knowledge of the Baldrige criteria or haven't used it, then you've got people on different learning curves. And so I think that there's a piece of frustration, I think, that you can't keep making the same momentum. It's because you have to take a step back and try to bring those people up to speed. And Nicole's role as our champion over the time since I've been the CEO really has been a lot of work with the new directors, too, just talking with them about what this means and how we use it. And I think that's the hard work there, is trying to always keep your team at the same level of understanding.
Well, one of the things we do with our onboarding process with new managers is they go through some orientation with me. They're given a criteria book from Mary Beth, and then I just go through things on a very high level. They also have access to our application to be able to read the story, try to at least look at it as a story to start with, and then eventually they're, you know, integrated as we start to use that language and the structures that we have in place for leadership management with goal setting, 90-day plans, whatnot. It just kind of naturally occurs. And then I make myself accessible, too. Sometimes people will just call me and say, can you sit down with me? And I lead the customer focus committee. Can you go through this feedback report with me and tell me what it is that they're saying? And so having been an examiner, I can pretty much think the way that an examiner does when they write something. So I can assist them in interpreting that and maybe what some nice action steps would be as they work with their committee. I think in response to your last question, too, one thing that has been a constant for us through the years is having a senior leader with a vision for this work and a passion for it. I think if it was just me going out and learning about the criteria as a middle manager, I would not have been able to influence much of anything without having the executives on board. So I just want to make that point as well.
You have some great strategies for moving things along and maintaining momentum for your management. I've always wondered, how do we keep the front line engaged, the nurse, the housekeeper, food worker, etc.?
Well, they have individual goals that align with their department goals and are often coming up with tactics to drive improvement. So we have those that are kind of our annual imperatives that we work on, but everyone in this organization has a passion for excellence, and we are doing continuous improvement all the time. It's just part of our culture. We also, as a management team, have had a lot of leadership development on how to engage our teams. So we're doing that in the moment. Some of us are using process tools or enlisting the help of our quality director, who is really an expert at the application of those tools to coach us through things, and pulling in the frontline staff who do the work to design things and make improvements. That's how we do things here.
I like to say that starting is hard, but what's really hard is starting over. So I'd like to hear how you get things kicked off between applications.
Well, you know, the most recent one in my mind is the 6-year time span we had between the 2012 application, where we had gotten to the mastery level, and our 2018, where we reached the excellence level. It was more about getting a consultant in here to help us really implement the criteria that we were struggling with than it was about writing the application. And my mantra always is and always has been, every time I talk to the leadership team, every time I talk to the employees, that this isn't about an award. This is about us using criteria to make our organization better. And the reason we do this is to get the feedback report, because it's just really priceless to get external objective feedback from other individuals who do performance improvement and use performance excellence in their daily work, whether it be someone from healthcare or somebody outside of our sector. We, you know, our last site visit, we had people from education and from business. But it's really about getting a consultant out so that part of the time, myself as the CEO was the student. So, I mean, I really knew that I had plateaued with my knowledge of the criteria, and so looked for an expert to come in and work with the entire senior leader team, the entire management team, to truly understand what continuous performance improvement is and using the excellence criteria, what would that mean to us. So there are times where you have internal experts, but you kind of plateau and you need to have someone come in with new eyes. Especially because there were things that we thought we were doing really well and that were great processes, but we found out that they were either too cumbersome, or they hadn't been explained or deployed well, you know, out, or they weren't integrated where they needed to be. Just some key things like that to get some suggestions on. It's almost like getting an ongoing feedback report, I guess, is when you have you have an external consultant instead of waiting for the feedback report you get once every year or once every 6 years, you know, when you can get an application pulled together.
So in working with our consultant, when she needed to set up times to do interviews to find out exactly what an approach was, how it was deployed, the cycles of learning, how things were being measured, I knew who to get at the table that would be able to speak to those questions so that she could tell the best story for our application. Yeah. And having her keep an inventory of everything across all of the criteria was very helpful, and a timeline to keep us in cadence with our objective for an application submission was helpful as well. So I just basically connected the dots and doing some of that work.
It sounds like you've used the Baldrige Performance Excellence model to support what makes most sense for you. What are you doing going forward to learn?
I guess I would say that the continuous learning cycle we've had around the criteria. So on a regular basis, we attend criteria seminars, regional Baldrige conferences, and we've been very supportive and actually probably doing some encouraging pushing of people to go to the Wisconsin examiner training and be involved in being an examiner. So early on in the process, I think there were four or five of us that went to examiner training and actually participated with role changes, workloads. You know, that's probably tapered off. I think Nicole is the primary person now that stayed very involved as an examiner, but that keeps her kind of our ready reference. But also it's part of our effort as an organization to be part of the solution and give back. And that if we're going to, you know, if we're going to take value from the program, we want to give value back to the program. So 100% support of our individuals. Just yesterday, I sent out the Wisconsin Center's newsletter, partly because I wanted to have everyone to see our picture right there with our Excellence Award, but more so because the criteria seminar is advertised there. And then there was a teleconference coming up that was talking about measurement. And I'm like, even when you achieve excellence, you look at your feedback report and you're like, oh, we've got all this stuff we got to work on yet. So really, you know, push that out to my entire leadership team and said, really consider this. It's so easy to just do a phone call and listen to what somebody else is doing and sharing those best practices. I think that's key for us.
I have to say that you two are so humble about what you've accomplished and what you have to accomplish and learn going forward. But you are the excellence recipients and others will want to get your advice.
I think sometimes just getting out on the website, so the Wisconsin Center for Performance Excellence has a great website, and the National Institutes of Standards and Technology has a great website that you can access. There's tools out there that you can pull down, and the one that comes to mind right now for me is, are we making any progress? And basically, it's asking you some of the criteria questions in a much easier to complete kind of survey that you could do with your group to see where you're at and where you need to go. But the other thing that's really great now that wasn't there when we started, and Nicole, I think, spoke to that earlier, is that there's the Fast Forward Award, where some of the things are the Fast Forward application, where you can just kind of work on the organizational profile, at least talk about the high-level concepts that drive you forward. That's been key for us. You know, midway through this process, we actually evaluated and updated our mission, vision, and values, and we're at a point now where everybody is living and breathing that. And those key concepts, we were kind of forced to really look at those things as part of our communication with the whole organization. So I would say just start somewhere with an evaluation tool, even if it's reading an application of a Baldrige winner, because you can see that there's stuff there that you can benefit from.
That's some great advice. What words of encouragement would you give to those people out there trying but struggling to apply Baldrige?
Well, you know, I think if you fall down, just get back up again, because, I mean, we had a lot of glitches along the way, too, of trying to structure the work within our organization. We had a separate kind of committee that was really looking at kind of steering this effort. We ended up disbanding that, even though it was kind of near and dear to my heart, because we could see that it was setting it aside from our regular work, and we had to pull it into kind of getting the senior leader team all on board and flowing it down to our directors so that we didn't have more than one structure in the organization. And I think for Nicole and I both, that was a little bit of a painful transition because we just really loved meeting with kind of the lead people for the categories and really talking a lot about the Baldrige work, but it was artificially setting it separate from the other work that we were doing. So don't be afraid to change directions if you have to, and if something's not working, try something else, because I think that really made a huge difference for us, and I feel it's integrated now into our work. So when I have my senior leader meeting, when I'm talking with them about what our next projects are going to be or what we're going to be working on next, it's in direct alignment with what we got back in our feedback report. So that feedback report doesn't feel like it's extra work, and the projects that we're doing don't feel like they're separate from that.
Okay, so what's next for Black River Memorial Hospital?
Well, I have had the conversation with my full leadership team that we need to take some time to digest and use the feedback report, because we need to be true to what we've said the value of this is, and that's getting the feedback report. But we have talked about pursuing an application at the national level, and that continuing to drive this work. And even though we've met the excellence level, we know what we still need to work on, and we want to continue to drive forward with this. Also taking some time, I think, to celebrate really the hard work that we have done. We're taking the recognition trophy around and getting a picture done with lots of different groups of people across the hospital, because we know that you can't win this award just with a small group of people moving everything forward. So we're taking some time to celebrate. We're putting together a realistic timeline for implementing the things that we've gotten from the feedback report, and then maybe making, you know, another drive towards writing an application and submitting that at the national level, because our vision for our organization is to be the best community hospital in the nation. And so we feel like we need that national validation for that as well.
Nicole, they're still going to need an interpreter.
Absolutely.
Okay. Well,
I'm not letting her out of my sight. She is a ready resource and reference for me as well. If I need to talk about the Baldrige language, I know Nicole's already there to have that conversation with.
Well, this has really been delightful visiting with you, Mary Beth and Nicole. I'd like to thank you so much for giving us your time. You know, I've had the pleasure of visiting Black River Memorial Hospital and reading your application. You can just feel the excellence in the halls of your hospital. I'd really encourage others, you know, small or large hospitals, just or anyone interested in being excellent, to get out and see what you've accomplished.
Well, thank you, Tim. We really do appreciate the opportunity, I think, to talk a little bit about our journey. And one of the things that we're committed to here at Black River Memorial is giving back to other organizations, because we want to see healthcare continue to improve. So we are very open to those conversations kind of going forward. So people certainly can reach out to us.
Thanks, everyone, for listening to the Straightforward Podcast. Let us know what you think, and until next time, this is Tim Hallock wishing you all the best.